I want to cover a couple of scriptures that a lot of people have pondered over, questioned, argued over, all kinds of theories about them. One is 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 34. The women are to keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but are to subject themselves just as the law also says. That's 1 Corinthians. And the second scripture, which is very, again, pondered over a great deal, is 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 12. But I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man, but to remain quiet. All right, so those two passages have created a great deal of, you know, especially in modern era. But here's what we have to understand. The Word of God, and I'm talking about the Word, you know, in the beginning was the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word of God came into this world, that world, in the New Testament times. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into this world. He didn't come into the world in the time of the judges. He did not come into the world in the time of the kings of Israel and the queens of Israel. He did not come into the world, you know, during the time of the period of Daniel. He didn't come into the world in the time of the Persians. He came into the world in the Greco-Roman world, after Alexander the Great conquered the then known world and forced Greek culture and the Greek language on the known world at that time. So at the time that Jesus came into the world, Rome ruled the world. But the language that pervaded all over, it was the language of commerce, it was the language of culture, it was the language that spread here and there all over, was the Greek language. So he came into the world at a time when Israel or Judah was conquered and had to be subservient to Rome and was under the puppet rulership of the Herodians, Herod, King Herod, and so on. That's where Jesus was born. King Herod was so paranoid, he wanted to kill all the babies. Well, you're coming here to see you saw the star? He come to see the one born king of the Jews. King of the Jews, we'll find him and kill him. So he was so paranoid, so crazy. This is the world Jesus came into. In the Greco-Roman world, women were not allowed to have education. In the Judaism world, the world of Judaism, women could not read the Torah. They were not permitted to study. Girls could not permitted to study the Torah. That was the way it was in that world. So you have a world of culture. Now, we do know in the Old Testament times, yes, if you look at the law, men could divorce their wives. Wives could not divorce their husbands. You know, and they could, you know, under Moses' law, you could write them a bill of divorce and say, send them on their way. And a wife could not divorce her husband. There were certain cultural differences and cultural prejudices. But overall, if you saw, you know, the Old Testament law, you saw Deborah leading the charge, you know, and Barak had to listen to her. You know, you got to go. I won't go unless you go. The fiery woman. You had other prophetesses. Miriam, Moses' sister, was a prophetess. So you had women, and then you had queens, and you had some who are very, you know, very bad queens, and you had them, you know, in positions of power under the times of the kings. Kings and queens of Israel. In the time of Jesus, here's what some rabbis, these are quotes from rabbis during that first century, first and second century. Here's one. Rabbi Baya ben Asher said, "The female is irrelevant in creation, as she is only like a leech, clinging to the main thing, taken from it for its usage. She is made special for its usage as one of his special parts for its own usage. Here's another one from a tractate of the Sanhedrin. Woe to him whose children are females. Here's another one from the Midrash. Once Eve was created, Satan was created with her. Here's another one from another tractate. It says, whoever teaches his daughter the Torah teaches her obscenity. They teach the law of God to your daughter, and it's like you're teaching her to swear and obscenities. Here's another one from Rabbi Levi Ben Gershon. He said this about the woman. She has no more qualities than animals. If she even has a brain, he also said, she was created in order to serve. If she even has a brain. Think about how stupid that is, how ridiculous. The prejudice with which they looked at women in that first century. Here's another one. The husband should not allow his wife to leave the house any more than once or twice a month if needed, since the beauty of a woman comes from sitting in the corner of her house. In the Jerusalem Talmud, in chapter 6, page 33 of the tractate Shabbat, it says that it is also forbidden to give women jewelry since they are arrogant, said Rabbi Yitzhak Luria, one of the greatest minds. He's one of the greatest minds there. He used to also spit on women who he considered to be dressed too ostentatiously, too incorrectly. Here's another one. The Ramban said, In the case of a trial, quote, women are invalid to testify. Women are invalid to testify. In other words, what she saw, what she heard is not useful. And I'm talking to you, this is the first century view. And you remember, the rabbis would not speak to their wives in public. They would not. The sages warned that it was better to stay away from women. Quote, do not speak excessively with women, for all women's conversations are lewdness. Think of the way women were put down. The view of women, of like they were some kind of evil species. And what did God say, you know? He brings here's your helper, you're exact opposite, you're opposite but comparable, you're equal yet opposite, and your help that you need for fulfilling your purposes. This was not the way Jesus treated women. In fact, you remember when he talked to the Samaritan woman? He was so kind, and so he was listening to her, and she finally says to him in chapter 4, this is chapter 4, book of John, she says to him, well, I perceive you are a prophet. He said, well, you know, we're waiting for the Christ, the Messiah is supposed to come, you know, and we worship up here and you worship down there, and where is the right place? And he said, believe me, woman, the time is coming that people will not worship in here or there. But the true worship of God, a worshiper of God, will worship him in spirit and in truth. That's what God wants. She said, I perceive, you know, you're a prophet, and we are looking for the Messiah. And then she says, you who are speaking to him, I who speak to you am he. He reveals to her, I am the Messiah. He wouldn't even say that to the rabbis. He kept it away. You know, he tried to hide. But he says this to this Samaritan woman. By that time, you'll see in the book of John chapter 4, but I think it was verse 26. I won't tear it there. By that time, here come the disciples. They had gone away, you know, and he's now. They come, and they are like, what? What? What are you doing? You're talking to a woman? Not just any woman, a Samaritan woman. It was bad enough to talk to a woman, but now you're talking to a Samaritan woman. What are you doing? But nobody asked him, what were you after? What are you trying to do here? They didn't ask that. This is the world that Jesus came into. Jesus had a revolutionary approach to women. Who did he go to? Who found out that Jesus Christ was resurrected? Who did he appear to first? Women. And when they went back, the disciples, I think you're hallucinating. I think you're too emotional. I think you're this. They wouldn't believe it. The women tried to tell them. We saw him. He appeared to them. Now, at that time, there was a woman that came up to Jesus and touched the hem of his garment. You remember that story? Yeah, she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I will be healed. Do you know how she violated the norms at that time? He was considered a rabbi. You don't come up to a rabbi. You don't touch a rabbi. Number one. Number two, you've got a disease. You've got an issue. You're unclean. You don't come up and touch somebody when you're unclean. But she said to herself, if I could touch the hem of his garment. And when he looked at her, he said, well, what have you done then? And he said, well, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. He wasn't pejorative. He didn't call her names. This is another quote from one of the rabbis. Any woman who refuses to do one of the chores she is obligated to do should be forced to do it by the rod. Rabbi Abraham ben David takes it further and says, it is permissible to starve a woman until she surrenders to you. Starve a woman. That was the first century look at what Jesus never had that. He never talked to women like that. He never felt that way. And the Greek word you're talking about, they said they marvel. The Bible says when the disciples came in chapter 4, verse 26 and 27, they marveled. They were amazed. They were just like, what? Whoa, what are you doing? They just couldn't get over it. Marvel, but they didn't say anything. Later on in the New Testament, Paul says, husbands, love your wives. Love your wives. Don't treat them bad. Do you think the New Testament says take a rod to her? Do you think the New Testament says beat her up if she doesn't do her chores? Does the New Testament say that? No. Love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. So that's the teaching of the New Testament in comparison. But you have pockets. You know, Paul went all over the Middle Eastern world there. He went over the Greco-Roman world. All right, so let's take a look at one passage here. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 34. Women are to keep silence in the churches. Now, how do we interpret that? How are you going to interpret that? What's the process by which we can interpret it? Let's say we know this is not a right interpretation, okay? Since all women who are baptized and receive the Holy Spirit, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. The Holy Spirit, well, you're baptized in the water, the Holy Spirit takes you, receive the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit dips you into the church, into the body. You are now attached to the body of Christ. So it can't mean that since the day you were baptized, you're now in the church, in the body of Christ, you're not supposed to speak. That would be silly. So that's a wrong interpretation. And some people I know will say to me, well, David, we don't interpret the Bible. We just read the Bible for what it is. Brethren, please don't be so naive. Everybody interprets the Bible. Our former leaders, other people, they interpret the Bible. Everybody has to interpret, but we try to interpret it with scriptures, other scriptures, historical understandings, and so on. We try to make an interpretation based on that. So what we know is it can't mean from the time you're baptized you can't ever speak again. That'd be silly, okay? Now what we also know is in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 34, the women are to keep silence in the churches. That scripture directly contradicts chapter 11 and verses 4 and 5. Every man who has something on his head while praying or prophesying disgraces his head. But every woman who has her head uncovered while praying or prophesying disgraces her head. Now listen to that. Every woman who has her head uncovered while praying or prophesying. Now the word prophesying, it can mean either foretelling, that's a future thing, or that same word can mean forthtelling. I don't predict the future here. I forthtell. I speak forth. I hope sometimes with inspired speaking, but I speak forth. So every woman who has her head uncovered while praying. Now, what about is that? You think that means in her house? She's prophesying in her house or praying in her house? Well, where's the man doing it? Every man who has something on, how would anybody know if you have something on your head or something not on your head? How would anybody know that? That's silly. So you're not going to say in her closet at home, in her house at home, in her bedroom at home, in the privacy of her shelter at home, that this can't be that. So he's talking about every woman who has her head uncovered, praying or prophesying, disgraces her head, for she is one of the same as the woman who had her head shaved. In chapter 14, 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 5, now I wish that you all spoke in tongues. Who's all? Is that the whole church in Corinth? I wish that you all spoke in tongues. Well, if everybody's speaking in tongues, that means women are speaking in tongues. So saying you can't speak in the church, that wouldn't be correct here, is it? It contradicts what Paul's saying in verse 4 and 5. I wish that you all spoke in tongues, but even more, that you would prophesy. And greater is one who prophesies than one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets so that the church may receive edifying. He or she, yes. But if all prophesy, verse 24, dropping down to 1 Corinthians, let's look at the verses before we get to that verse 34. But if all prophesy and an unbeliever or an ungifted person, man, enters, he is convinced by all. He is called to account by all. The secrets of his heart are disclosed so that he will fall on his face and worship God, declaring that God is certainly among you. It can't mean that you cannot speak inside the church building. Women can't greet each other. Women can't say hello. It can't mean that. Because while culturally in the Old Testament, women were, considered less in the Old Testament times, I'm talking the law of Moses, the Moses time, they were also included in the list of property. They were considered part of a man's possession. You shall not covet what? Your neighbor's house, your neighbor's wife, your neighbor's ox, his donkey, or anything which belongs to your neighbor. It was considered part of who she was. She was belonged to the husband. Nevertheless, male and female were both made in God's image, we see. Nevertheless, women had rights. Remember the daughters of Zelophehad, when it came to, I think that's his name, but they came to Moses and they said, our father doesn't have any boys. He doesn't have any male. And we don't want our father's name out of the list. Why should we not be able to have our father's name? Why shouldn't we inherit? So Moses takes it to God, and God says they're right. Listen to the daughters of Zelophehad because they are correct. If a man has no sons, then his daughters are to inherit. They are to stay in the list. Honor your father, what? And your mother. They both get honor. They both get honor. They are part of the covenant people. Both men and women stood there and said, we will all that you said we will do. sons and daughters led music in the temple. The Levites, some the daughters of the Levites led music in the temple in the time of the temple worship. Sons and daughters, according to the book of Joel, were to prophesy. Your sons will prophesy, your daughters will prophesy, and your children will see, you know, others will dream dreams. Women were definitely in leadership roles in the Old Testament times of the kings and queens. We know that. When Moses' sister Miriam was a prophetess. I mentioned that already. And Deborah was a prophetess. And they were powerful leaders of Israel. Huldah was a prophetess. A woman by the name Huldah was a prophetess under King Josiah. And King Josiah asked her to read and interpret the newly found book of the law. You see that in 2 Kings chapter 22. So the time of Jesus, the time of the New Testament, it came in a different cultural and different environment about women. Didn't have the same environment. A lot of that environment came from the Greco-Roman, and then the rabbis took up their prejudices against women, trying to keep them under control. Culturally, in both Judaism and in the Greco-Roman world, women were second citizens. There's no doubt about it in culture. But women were in leadership roles. Elizabeth and Mary were godly women that God chose. Anna, in the temple, in Luke chapter 2 and verse 36, was a prophetess in the temple. I mean, the temple precincts, not inside the Holy of Holies or Holy Place. Lydia, in Acts chapter 16, was a believer and a leader of a house church. They went and had church in her house. Philip's four virgin daughters were prophetesses, you see, in Acts chapter 21. I won't take time to read all this because it's just too much, but you understand it. Phoebe, a deaconess at the church in Cenchrea in Romans 16, Paul says, she's coming to you and I want you to make yourselves available to her, to make yourself at her disposal. Whatever she has needs, sir, help her. Priscilla, one of Paul's fellow workers and teachers, was the wife of Apollos. Taught Apollos, rather. She was the wife of Priscilla and Aquila. You see the list of women: Mary, Trophina, Tryphosa, Persis, Julia. All in, they called several women his fellow workers, workers with the gospel. He worked with these women. He certainly was different. Now, I don't know what resistance he had when he went over there to Rome, but he wrote this book to the Romans. You look at the list in Romans 16 of women: Junia, Euodia, Syntyche, and so on. And by the way, in Euodia and Syntyche are mentioned in Philippians chapter 4, and as fellow workers, co-workers with him. So it can't mean that these people are just so bad and that they're so put down. It's 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 34-35 can't mean that. It just couldn't possibly. Listen, the women are to keep silence in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but are to subject themselves. Be submissive, meaning, other translations say, be submissive, just as the law also says. Now, brethren, the law, check in the Old Testament and tell me what reference you have in your Bible to where the law also says that. This is verse 34, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 34. There is no other place in the law. It does not give me a law reference in a reference Bible. Why? Because there is no law in the Old Testament saying women cannot speak. There's no law there. So where did this law, where did this so-called law come from? You know what Paul was? Paul was a rabbi also. I think Paul was a rabbi. Paul was a teacher. Paul grew up under the tutelage of Gamaliel, Gamaliel, one of the greatest, strictest teachers of the law, and he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And what law was it? Now, the other thing we don't know, culturally what was taking place in Corinth at the time, what was taking place in the churches at the time, how much were the women speaking up at the time. We don't know. We don't know any of that. We have no idea what the problems were in the Corinth church in this case, why he would. And if you'll notice, he comes down here in verse, let's take a look at 1 Corinthians 14, dropping down to verse 30. Now, in verse 29, he says, let two or three prophets speak, but let the others pass judgment. But if a revelation is made to another who is seated, the first must, one must keep silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, so that all may learn and so that all may be exhorted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not a God of confusion. We can't just have everybody speaking at one time, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Now, all of a sudden, look at verse 34. The women are to keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but also to subject themselves, just as the law also says. Well, the law doesn't say that. But the rabbis said it. But the Talmud and other things of the Jewish writings said it. Now, is he just quoting what the Jews are saying here? What is a Jewish law? And listen, verse 35, if they desire to learn anything, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is improper for a woman to speak in church. Think about that. She can't even ask her husband in church? That's rabbinical. That's Judaism. And then he goes on. Then he says, was it from you that the word of God went forth, or has it come to you? If anyone thinks he is a prophet or spiritual, let him recognize that the things which I command you are the commandments of the Lord's commandments. If anyone does not recognize that, he is not recognized. Therefore, my brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy. Now he's telling all of them, I'd rather you prophesy than be speaking in tongues. My brethren, my brothers and sisters, desire to prophesy and do not forbid to speak in tongues. But all things must be done properly and in order. Orderly. They have to be done properly and orderly. It's almost like he just delves into this statement that might be rabbinical and Talmudic rather than what he ordinarily says, because it contradicts so much else that Paul has said about women. Now let's take a look. I want to take a look at one other passage here. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Therefore I want the men in every place. I'm going to read it beginning in verse 8. Therefore I want men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and dissension. Likewise, I want women to adorn themselves. I wish they would in proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, and not with braided hair and golden pearls and costly things, but rather by means of good works, as the proper for women making a claim to godliness. A woman must quietly receive instructions with entire submissiveness. Okay? I want you to notice verse 11. A woman must quietly receive instruction with entire submissiveness. Now, brethren, what is that word submissiveness? Do you know that you all right now are receiving instruction with quiet submissiveness right at this moment, fulfilling that word right here? Do you know that when I go to a lecture or I take classes to continue to upgrade my knowledge, and you have to have so many continuing education hours. When I walk into that classroom, you know what I do? I sit down and I listen to the lecturer, whoever it is, and sometimes they know more than me and sometimes they don't. But I listen to them. I listen in submissiveness. I'm just there. Submissiveness. Jesus was submissive to his parents. Same Greek word. Jesus was submissive to Mary and Joseph. Submissive just means you're appropriate to the situation, following what is right. Was it appropriate for Jesus to listen to his father and his mother, or his supposed father, Joseph, and his mother, Mary, when they said, son, you've dealt bad, you know, you came here, come on home with us now, it's time to come home. And he said, okay. And he went with them, being submissive to them. Submissive, you're submissive when you go into, let's say you were going into a courtroom. Have you ever been to a courtroom? Sitting in a courtroom? Do you go up and say, hey, Your Honor, I want to say something. Please, sit down. You need to be submissive. You need to say respectfully to the judge. You don't just get to say what you want to say in any way you want it. With entire submissiveness is what you do in the appropriate places. If I go to a lecture, if I go to a town hall, if I listen to somebody talking and giving a speech or something, I'm trying to be submissive. So this is what he says in verse 11. Okay? A woman must quietly receive instruction with entire submissiveness. Well, men do too. In Ephesians 5, verse 21, submit to yourselves one to another in the fear of God. We submit to one another. If somebody else is up here talking, if they come up here and they're giving a sermonette or a sermon, and I'm sitting here, I'm submissive. I'm listening to what they have to say. I'm not saying, wait a second, I want to say, I have that. No, I don't know. But listen to the next passage here. Verse 12, but I do not allow a woman to teach or, now here's an interesting word. These two words are all, they're just one Greek word, okay? Exercise authority over a man, but to remain quiet. For it was Adam who was first created, then Eve. It was not Adam who was deceived, but the woman who was deceived fell into the transgression. But women will be preserved through bearing children if they continue in faith and love and saint. Some people think it means that their children continue in faith and love. Now, here we have all this. A woman is to quietly receive instruction in submissiveness, verse 11, right? Listen to this understanding of verse 12. I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority. That's a Greek word, which is athunteo. Now, from the Art and Gingrich lexicon, this is a biblical and ecclesiastical word, which they say means, according to earlier usage, it meant one who with his own hand kills either others or himself. Athunteo. He's going to kill you or himself. Okay? In later Greek writings, it came to mean one who does a thing himself. I do it. I'm the author. I do it. I know it. And nobody, the equivalent, he's, in other words, an absolute master. I'm going to do it. It's what I think, not what you think, not what anybody else thinks. It's mine and mine only. So he does not want women to, in a sense, to govern somebody, exercising dominion. I mean to exercise it. You shut up and you sit down. And I'm the one talking. I'm the one that's strong. I'm the one that's... You can't say that. Men don't say that. Men shouldn't say that. Women shouldn't say that. Nobody should be this way. It is not just that a woman shouldn't exercise this kind of authority. A man shouldn't. And he did not want her to be there. And then he goes on to say, listen to what he goes on to say here. But women shall be preserved if through childbearing, if and so on. Therefore, I want men in every place to pray, he says in chapter 2, verse 8. We already read that. And a woman must quietly receive instructions. Do not let her do this. Why? Because the false teachers during that time were targeting women. Now, there's a Jewish understanding of the deception of Eve. You see this phrase here? But because it was not Adam who was deceived. And some of the Jewish writings believe that Eve was seduced. You can think almost anything Jews believed. If you say Jews believed it, there's all kinds of ideas that Jews... That many Jews believed that Eve was seduced by the serpent, had sex with the serpent. Adam was not deceived, but he was weak. He was not a leader. He was a weak person. So she was deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into the transgression, and the woman will be preserved through the childbearing, or the bearing of children. It could be the childbearing, meaning the birth of Christ, could be interpreted. There are a lot of interpretations on this. The birth of Christ, or they can be doing, if they bear godly children and they continue in the faith and love and sanctity with self-restraint. They have to put a restraint on themselves. Now, were women targeted at that time? Yes. Let's take a look at a couple of scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5. 2 Timothy 3. Holding a form of godliness, although they have denied its power, avoid such men as these. For among those men are those who enter into households and captivate weak women weighted down with sins, led on by various impulses, always learning and never able to come to a knowledge of the truths. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men oppose the truth. They're all trying to get weak women and seduce them and take them away from the truth of God, you see. So Paul is, you know, he doesn't, there are theory, here's another theory. Just how you can interpret this. Were these women seduced by these kind of men, given false doctrine, and are now in the church to propound false doctrine to the church? If so, Paul says, I don't want them talking. I don't want them. I don't permit a woman to govern, to take over the services, you know, with this kind of authority. She's going to come up on the stage and take over the services and start telling this other doctrine. I won't permit it. Notice also, he in Acts chapter 20, look at Acts chapter 20, dropped it down to verse 28. Be on guard for yourselves. He's talking to the Ephesian elders and for all the flock among whom the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves, men will arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. That's to the Ephesian elders. In Titus chapter 1, verse 10, for there are many rebellious men, empty talkers, deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, they're Jewish deceivers, who must be silenced because they are upsetting whole families, teaching things they should not teach for the sake of sordid gain. They're upsetting whole families. That means mothers, daughters, and so on. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, we see this in verse 13. At the same time, they also, he's talking about, remember, he had a list of widows. People could enlist as a widow helper. If you were a widow, you wanted to help out with the church, Paul would have you join in the list of widows. It's almost like a convent or something. You know, you became into that list of widows. You had to be a widow indeed. But he didn't want younger widows in it. He said, so at the same time, these younger widows, here's what he was worried about, learn to be idle as they go around from house to house. So they're preaching, they're going from, and not merely idle, but gossips and busybodies talking about things not proper. Not proper. Therefore, I want younger women, younger widows, to get married, bear children, keep house, and give the enemy no occasion for reproach. For some have already turned aside to follow Satan. They've already turned aside. So some of there was a big push at that time to deceive women, to get women into this and have them really take on and strongly propound false doctrine. False doctrine to the church, false doctrine to others. Is that what Paul is trying to stop when he says, I don't want this? Now, I think in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he's merely quoting what the rabbis say. But that's not what the way he... That would be a contradiction of everything Paul said prior to that. It would be a contradiction to Paul's use of women in the ministry. Paul had so many women as part of his entourage and ministry that he talked about. We'll go over some of that and a little bit more on God's choice of women and men, male and female. Humans are male and female in the image of God. He created them. For us to make an interpretation that women cannot teach, that women cannot speak, that women cannot, they have to learn it in silence and ask their husbands at home, would not be a proper understanding of that scripture. Just would not, in my opinion. If you have a disagree with me, we'll talk about it. Okay. That's it for today.